think it's verse what, 14? Yeah, 14 and through 23. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with defiled hands?" He replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules." You have to let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions. Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that defiles them." After he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable. "Are you so dull?" he asked. "Don't you see that nothing that enters a person from the outside can defile them? For it doesn't go into their heart, but into their stomach, and then out of the body." In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. He went on, "What comes out of a person is what defiles them. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me, church? Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words for us this day. But these words alone, without a move of your Holy Spirit, are just that. You moved at one time upon the heart of that gospel writer, Mark, who was so inspired by your Holy Spirit that he sat and penned these words. Heavenly Father, may that same Holy Spirit come and pen those words into our hearts, that we might be transformed and found to be better people when we depart this place today than we were when we entered in. And Heavenly Father, if it would please you to please help us to preach today, we would greatly appreciate that as well. All this we ask and pray in the name of our Lord Jesus, who is the Christ. And all the saints of God said, amen, amen. I wanted to start by giving you a quick definition of the word defile, because in the scripture it says the defile that had to do with not washing the hands. But actually Webster took it a step further and he says, the word defile means to make unclean or impure, to corrupt, to violate, to de-sanctify, to de-sanctify. So anyway, that word defile goes a lot deeper than just the washing of hands. Okay? Everybody got that? Not like this. There will be a quiz when church is over this morning, okay? You can't leave until you pass the quiz, okay? I wanted to ask you to, what's the most gross, or the most gross, or what did I write down here? Disgusting food that you ever ate. The most disgusting or gross food you ever ate. Can you remember? Was it Brussels sprouts? Go ahead, just lift it out. What was it?
Lima beans.
Lima beans. We get a vote for lima beans. Okay. What was it? Yeah. What else? What's the most disgusting? What was it? Dandelions. Okay. I had one this morning at Lawsonham. Alligator. Anybody ever eat an alligator? Oh, several hands, yeah. A little chewy, but, you know, it's there. I had turtle once. I thought it was pretty good. They must have cooked it just right, you know. There's different foods that we eat. And I remember one time being initiated into it was a high-Y club. So I was in high school, and anyway, I wanted to join this club. We had to go through an initiation, and part of that initiation process was eating some disgusting things, like worms. How many of you ever eaten earthworms? Come on now, they crawl around in dirt. You're going to eat some dirt, you know, in your life. Everybody says you have to eat so much dirt before you die, you know. Anyway, but earthworms, and then they had, how many of you have ever had baked beans? I had some at a picnic yesterday, baked beans, you know, and a nice brown color, and you know, that nice. These beans were green. Green. I mean, they were green. Yeah, it's like your shirt, okay? Yeah. Green. I mean, they were green. They tasted good, but they were green. I think it was food coloring, you know? I think they did that. I think they put food coloring in there because it did taste good. None of us got sick. Didn't happen. Another gross thing that we had to eat, I think at one point they had us eat a mouthful of flour. And it was so dry that when they handed us a big bottle of Tabasco sauce, that was moisture, and I chugged that thing down to get that flour out of my mouth. That was, you know, so anyway, having to eat some gross things. When my mother served up Brussels sprouts, or lima beans, or asparagus, or beets. Beets were not on my list either. How many of you don't care for beets? Anyone? There's a few hands there. Okay, I'm one of those, and I'm so thankful that the Lord blessed me with a wife that doesn't care for beets either, okay? So we just don't do beets. Anyway, but some people really love beets. You know, saying that about beets. How many of you love beets? Okay. Praise God, you can have all of mine. You can give them freely to you. And then diatomaceous earth. How many of you ever heard of diatomaceous earth? Okay, several of you. Very good for everything, you know, especially your pets. I'll tell you what, this stuff will kill fleas, ticks, mites. Good for bed bugs. Have you got anybody got bed bugs? No, don't have to raise your hand. Anyway, it'll kill the bed bugs, you know. I had a parsonage one time. Parsonage, it gave me this beautiful parsonage and had redecorated and it was all nice, brand new carpeting throughout and everything. And it was infested with those little red beetle things, you know. You've seen those look like ladybugs? There must have been 10,000 of those things in that place. And they lasted for about 5 days after they got into the diatomaceous earth, okay? They just didn't last long at all. So it's good for all kinds of things like that. We'll actually deworm the animals. And I have some on sale right after church, right over here. Anyway, If you ever want to taste it, it's kind of chalky taste, you know. It tastes like chalk. Cody, you didn't try any this morning, but maybe after church. We'll leave it there. But it's extremely good. All kinds of minerals and vitamins and things in that stuff, you know. Mostly silica, but it's great. Anyway, I'm not here to talk about food and stuff today, because with food, Jesus started talking about this washing of hands. You know, before we eat, even gross stuff, everybody washes their hands, right? You do that. Everyone here, wash your hands? Okay, wash your hands before you eat. Pray before you eat. Okay, we do all that stuff. And we kind of do that out of habit. We learned that. Our parents trained us when we were young. And now before we eat, if we were to have a meal today, we don't have one today, do we? No. Okay. But if we were having a meal downstairs after the service, we'd all be washing our hands because we were shaking, hugging, and doing all that stuff. We would wash before we do that. But Jesus said it's not about the washing. It's not about the ceremonies. It's not about, well, you have to sing three hymns or a praise song, a couple hymns. It's not that the choir has to sing or else it's not worship. It's not about passing the offering plate at a certain point in the service or else it's not worship. It's not about any of those things. It's not about how we take communion today, and today it'll be at the altar rail. And unlike last time, there's a little bit of miscommunication for some of you who weren't aware. I never intended for people to come on the other side of the altar rail. But just on one side, and you'll kneel if you're able. If you're not, you just stand. That's fine. And whether you stand or whether you kneel, it doesn't matter. You know, these are religious practices. And sometimes it's the religious practices that get us into trouble. That's the reason why there's over 430 different Methodist denominations. I mean, John Wesley only brought this around a couple hundred years ago, right? We've already got 430 different ways because people say, we don't like the way you do that. I think it ought to be like this. You know, and it's like, it doesn't matter. That's what Jesus is saying. That's the point of this whole passage here. That's not the things of God. God is concerned about what in the world is on the inside of us. Is it something holy? Or is it something worldly? Okay? And he lists a whole bunch of stuff. He is very specific. Now you have to understand when they wrote this stuff, and Mark is giving this out to Christians. He's not giving this out to a bunch of heathens. They're trying to reach people who have known God most of their lives. These are the ones he's addressing. And they're having issues. I don't know about you folks, but Jesus makes a point in here. One of the verses, I don't know if I wrote it down. Something about our thoughts. Around verse 23, the last part. These evil thoughts. They come from, and in another part of Scripture, we didn't read today, but Jesus said, even your thoughts betray you. So sometimes it's these thoughts, and I don't know about you folks, but sometimes I wrestle with some of those thoughts, and I really try to take every one captive to make it obedient to Christ. But it's those things that are on the inside, that inner heart within us. Those are the things that God looks at. He doesn't care what... How many of you ladies wore a pretty dress today? Did you wear a pretty dress? Yeah. Guys, you all dressed up? You have your suit coats on? You have your best necktie on and all that? Yeah. God doesn't care about that stuff. He cares that you come here with the right attitude and the right heart, that you surrender it all unto Him. Amen? That's what it's all about. And that's, so he goes on and he starts talking about these things. He lists them. There's 12 of them there. Sexual immorality. Sexual immorality. You know, and I don't know why they always list that one first. That's the first one I read and I go, That's the point. I hit that first one and I go, oh God, you know. I don't know about you. Hopefully you folks don't wrestle with that. But, you know, every now and then, it's like I hit that one and it's like, I've been exposed to stuff in this world that human beings should never be exposed to. And I've seen these things. And I just... And it's there. And you know, our whole world this day, especially not just in this country, it's all around the world. How about human sex trafficking, human trafficking for sexual purposes? You heard about that? You better be watching each other, and even yourselves, ladies, when you go out at night. Because even in the very small rural towns now, they're taking them. And if they can't sell them and it's not working out, they end up in some field or somewhere, or some culvert or some place where they think the body won't be found till they're long gone. That's a very serious issue, and it's not just this country, it's all over the world. Sexual immorality. You know, he goes on to list some others there. Talks about theft. Taking things that don't belong to you. Talks about murder and adultery and greed. Malice. That's the intentional wanting to cause pain or injury to another human. That's the bullies in school, kids. The ones that just come up and just slug you for no reason. Yeah, that's malice. Okay? Not allowed to do. Teachers, not allowed to do that, correct? That'll get you thrown out of school in big trouble, right? Okay. She tells me that all the time, just when I'm ready to... No, I never do that. But, you know, so that's malice. Deceit. We talked last week about deceiving, you know. What's the problem with being deceived? Don't realize you're being deceived until you've been deceived, okay? So deceit, he talks about that. Don't do that. Lewdness, envy, slander, saying bad things about people that aren't true. You know, arrogance. Stay humble. Humble before your Lord. And folly, doing dumb stuff. Any bungee jumpers in here? Anyone that ever jumped out of an airplane, a perfectly good airplane, if it wasn't the job? Mark's squirming. He's squirming in his seat. A prayer for Mark. Folly stuff. Okay. You know, and there's sometimes we do this stuff, but all these evils come from the inside. And so I ask you today, do you have a heart for God? Or do you have a heart for the world? Well, truth be known, I think we're somewhere in the middle. I wrestle with stuff. I have thoughts, even though I've never done some of those things, I have seen it, and I've thought about those things, and I've pondered those things. You know, I've mulled them over in my head. I said, what would it be like to be like jumping off of a bridge, plunging to certain death, trusting a piece of elastic rope is going to stop you just before you smash your... That's folly big time, okay? But I just wondered, what would it be like to free fall out of a plane? Whee! Well, that was John. He's done. Okay. Now, somewhere in between, and there's stuff in the world that we're surrounded with and bombarded with. It's all over the internet. These things happen all the time. We see this stuff, we hear about it on the nightly news. We wrestle with that stuff. If you have been wrestling with that, when we come to communion today, I want you just to talk to God about that, okay? Because I tell you what, He's the only one that can take those thoughts, that He can purge us. But we have to surrender it to Him. If there's things maybe that you grew up with or when you were a kid, and Talk to God on those things. He wants us to be more like Jesus. And the more we talk to Him about the worldly stuff, the more He sets us free from that worldly stuff. I want you to know that, church. But if we just hold it all in, guess what? We get to keep it. But when we surrender it, give it to Him, oh, He's a great Lord and He takes it from us. He takes it from us. If we look more like Jesus than we do the world, we'll make better disciples for Jesus. Amen? Amen. Well, I think we have a hymn right now, hymn of preparation. Do we have that? That we can stand and sing?